Albeit, we find that Shemitah is mentioned as part of what's called Parshat Mishpatim, the Sefer HaBrit, immediately after Ma'amad Har Sinai, almost a microcosm, as the Ramban calls the mitzvot that appear right after the Aseret HaDibrot, not just an expansion of the Ten Commandments, but really the basis of the Torah. That's where we first hear about Shemitah. The laws of Shemitah are first going to be expanded upon in Sefer Vayikra, Parshat Bahar, in seven psukim, beautifully said, with the word Shabbat appearing seven times. And just in case one isn't getting the message, to appreciate that Shemitah, practiced once every 7 years, is going to serve as a basis for seven cycles of seven Shemitot that ultimately will be celebrated through the Jubilee year, through the Yovel year. So that's where, as you look at the first source, we hear about Shemitah. What are some of these halachot that are going to be related? This is the first time that we hear that it's going to be linked to the land. Pasuk bet, daber al bnei Yisrael v'amarta lehem ki tavo al haaretz asher ani noten lachem v'shavta haaretz Shabbat l'Hashem. This isn't just a Shabbat once a week. This is a Shabbat once every 7 years. And it's a Shabbat l'Hashem. This is meant to not only strengthen, but serve as a basis of your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sheish shanim tizra sadecha, v'sheish shanim tizmor karmecha, v'asavta tvo'ata. Notice that we don't jump straight into a sabbatical year. The only way that you truly appreciate the sabbatical is if, firstly, you invest 6 years in working your field. Then, bashana hashvi'it, Shabbat Shabbaton, the same word that we've already seen in Sefer Vayikra, two chapters earlier, the word of Shabbat Shabbaton that appeared by Yom HaKippurim. And that's why perhaps this is the best time, Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, not only the beginning of the year, and obviously we have to become sensitive to following the halachot at this time, but also right after the Yamim Noraim, right after hearing Shabbat Shabbaton of Yom HaKippurim, Shabbat Shabbaton, that term also appears by Rosh Hashanah, and it appears again by Sukkot. There's something about the intensity of the word Shabbaton that connotes a much more intense relationship with Hashem that's going to be manifest not just for a couple of days over Sukkot or the 25 hours of Yom HaKippurim, but we have an entire year of Shabbaton. This Shemitah year, Yel Aret Shabbat LaHashem, Sadcha Lo Tizra VeKarmecha Lo Tizmor, Etzviach Kitzercha Lo Tikzor VeEt In Vein Nizirecha Lo Tivzor, Shnat Shabbaton Yel Aret. So we've heard the same terminology. It's a Shabbat Shabbaton Yel Aret, a Shabbat LaHashem. Again, a Shnat Shabbaton, Vaita Shabbat Haaretz Lachem. Notice that here in the first few psukim describing Shemitah, we already have three different directions, three avenues, three goals of Shemitah. This is supposed to, on one hand, sensitize us to our relationship with Shabbat LaHashem, our relationship Shnat Shabbaton LaAretz, our relationship with the land, and our relationship Lachem. Even within a society, the fabric of Jewish community has to be strengthened this year. Lecha, l'avdecha, l'amatecha, l'schircha, l'toshavecha, hagarim imach. Every single strata of society, all classes of society that are going to come together, including sensitivity that's also going to be displayed to the ba'alei chayim, the behema, the chaya, asher b'artzecha tiyeh kol tvo'ata le'chol. And we're going to refer back to some of these psukim when we highlight some of the values. But the first value that we're going to start with is Chazal's very famous question of the end of this section, both the beginning of the section and the end of the section, that tell us that where and when were these halachot given? They were given Bahar Sinai, right? We see in Pasuk Aleph, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe, Bahar Sinai Lemor. And Chazal asks, wait a second, weren't all the mitzvot given by Har Sinai? Why particularly by Shemitah do we hear that there is an association between this mitzvah and Ma'amad Har Sinai and the commandments that were given at Har Sinai? As a matter of fact, we already saw that in Parshat Mishpatim, we have the Torah mentioning explicitly that they're still at Har Sinai and they're hearing about the mitzvah of Shemitah, but they're hearing many other mitzvot as well. They're hearing about the laws of Eved Ivri. They're hearing about the laws of the Shalosh Regalim, of the three festivals. So what is so unique about Shemitah that we have to hear that it was given at Har Sinai? We could have figured it out on our own. And if the Torah is already mentioning this, then mention it by all the mitzvot that were given at Har Sinai. And that is, we know, according to Chazal, doesn't just include the mitzvot of Torah Shebichtav, also Torah Shebaal Peh, So Chazal, let's take a look at the second source. Ask, Ma inyan Shemitah itzel Har Sinai? Why should Shemitah be set apart as being mentioned specifically by Har Sinai? Valo kol ha-mitzvot ne'emru mi-Sinai. All the mitzvot were said at Sinai. Ela ma Shemitah. So what is unique to Shemitah at the bottom of the first page? What is unique to Shemitah is that Ne'emru klaloteha upratoteha v'tuktukeha mi-Sinai. Because Shemitah, as you're going to learn throughout the seminar today, Shemitah contains many halachot, both general halachot, many detailed halachot. So you should know that not just the big ideas, as we would use in pedagogy today, were given at Har Sinai, but also the details, even at the minutiae of the halachot, were given at Har Sinai. Kach shnuya b'torat kohanim, and we're going to hear about all these halachot in the midrashei halacha and in the psukim of Sefer Vayikra. V'ner eli shekach perusha lefi shalom matzino shmitat karkaot shenishneid barvot moab b'mishne Torah. And Chazal say, you know what? It's interesting because many of the mitzvot hatzuyot ba'aretz were repeated in Sefer Dvarim. But not all of the halachot related to Shemitah, some of them we'll see, are repeated in Sefer Dvarim, but not all of them, showing us that the initial laws were in fact given all at Har Sinai, and not all of them repeated, to teach us that, again, the klalim, the general laws, and the detailed laws were all given at Sinai, and this is why we have to hear that these were given at Har Sinai. Some of them Moshe repeated Ba'arvot Moav upon the imminent entrance to the land of Israel. The Mechilta of Rabbi Yishmael actually speaks or alludes to this idea as well with regard to what went on at Har Sinai. What does the Mechilta tell us? I'm sorry, we're still on the first page. Don't worry, we're going to go faster. But on the first page, we see that in English, the Mechilta of Rabbi Yishmael says that when... Oh, we don't have the same... Oh, that's interesting. Okay, I guess it must have changed a little. Sorry. Again, in formatting the Mechilta, so thank you. The Mechilta of Rabbi Yishmael on Parshat Yitro tells us that what happens at Har Sinai, well, Moshe took the Sefer HaBrit, and as we know from Parshat Mishpatim, Moshe came to Am Yisrael and said, so what do you think about all these mitzvot? This is the Sefer HaBrit. There are so many mitzvot, Shabbat, Shemitah, Eved Ivri, Amma Ivriya, laws of social justice, laws of the Shalosh Regalim, all different types of mitzvot. And what did Am Yisrael respond? Kol Asher, everything that you say, Kol Asher, Tziva Hashem, Na'aseh. We are going to do all of this, Na'aseh. And then they also add Vinishma. Rabbi Yishmael said, what was Moshe actually teaching them when he asked them, okay, are you willing to fulfill all the mitzvot? The very fact that they say Na'aseh v'nishma means they say, we'll do this. And what are we willing to do? Nishma. We'll hear some of the other halachot. According to Rabbi Yishmael, when Moshe proposed that they accept upon themselves the words of Hashem, all that Moshe placed in front of them were the laws of Shemitah. Moshe said, okay, let me give you an example of what's in the Torah. And this is very consistent with the school of thought of Rabbi Yishmael that says that Hashem went around to the other nations of the world and presented to each nation a specific mitzvah to see if they were willing to fulfill it. He asked the Yishmaelites, okay, do you want the Torah? What's written in the Torah? What did Hashem say to the Yishmaelites? Lo tignov, you can't steal because they're bandits. These are our desert pirates. And they said, no, 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 this is our Parnassa. We're not going to do that. He went to Esav, he went to Edom. They said, what's in the Torah? Lo tirtach, you're not allowed to murder. Sorry, that's what we do. That's our trade. We're not going to accept the words of the Torah. According to Rabbi Yishmael, Hashem sent Moshe to Bnei Yisrael, and Bnei Yisrael said, what's in the Torah? And Moshe said, Shemitah. Okay. Na'aseh v'nishma. Why? Why particularly Shemitah? What is this about the mitzvah of Shemitah, the commandment of Shemitah that apparently has the purpose of preparing Am Yisrael to receive all the mitzvot of the Torah and serves as the archetype, really the paradigm for all of the mitzvot of the Torah, and based on the school of thought of Rabbi Yishmael, is exactly what Am Yisrael needs, right? If the Yishmaelites need to stop stealing and the Edomites need to stop murdering, then Am Yisrael apparently, for the betterment of the building of Jewish society, what do we need? Shemitah. What the Midrash is highlighting, as we see really from these two Midrashim, Diktukeha Upratateha, that every aspect of Shemitah is going to be relevant to the qualification of building Am Yisrael. And we're going to see this is connected, obviously, to Am Yisrael, certainly its relationship to Eretz Yisrael, the idea that this serves as the basis for our relationship with Torat Yisrael. And as such, we see that Shemitah is the heart of the Torah. And therefore, you're looking around and you're thinking, it's a good thing that I came this morning, because this is the basis of our relationship with Torah, the foundation of our entire relationship of Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot. So now we're going to see how the later Parshanim try to explain and expound upon this. The Ramban, Nachmanides, says it's so interesting that the Midrashim, the Braita, tells us that Shemitah is used as the paradigm of mitzvot, that we find both the details and the general aspects given at Har Sinai, because we found in Parshat Mishpatim, in Shmot Perek Chaf Gimel, right after Shmot Perek Chaf, Chaf Aleph, right after Ma'amad Har Sinai, Hashvi'it Shmitena V'Natashta V'Achlu V'Bionei Amecha V'Elu Dinei Hashmita B'Derech Klal. In Parshat Mishpatim, they were given in a general one pasuk form. But in Vayikra, they're given with all the details. And the Torah wants you to know, Bahar Sinai, these details were also given in Har Sinai. And they're just repeated here at the end of Sefer Vayikra. Eila ha-mitzvot asherti b'Hashem et Moshe b'nei Yisrael b'Har Sinai. And not just these mitzvot, but Shemitah again, used as the basis, lahakish kol ha-mitzvot el ha-shemitah. Bring all the mitzvot in connection to Shemitah to tell us that they were all given b'frat uwa b'chlal b'Har Sinai. So on one hand, the Ramban explains why Shemitah then is so central, because this is the only one that the Torah points out was given at Har Sinai, because it has both general laws and detailed laws, but it still doesn't answer why we needed to hear specifically Shemitah laws by Har Sinai. It still doesn't explain that Mechilta of Rabbi Yishmael that says that Hashem says, just tell them Shemitah. If they're willing to accept Shemitah, then that's the basis for our relationship. Why is this the heart of the Torah? What does it mean that Shemitah really is the paradigm of all mitzvot, not only in a technical aspect that all details were given, but what does that mean that this is the foundation? And the Or HaChaim, whom, as you know, was really an early Zionist, right, who makes it here to Eretz Yisrael, dies in Eretz Yisrael, is buried at the foot of Har HaZeitim, he explains beautifully, and this is an idea that's going to be repeated by later Parshanim as well. He says, Hashmita nilmeda b'Har Sinai, shekein hi mechila b'tocha et kol inyanei ha'emuna. It's not just about the technical aspects. Shemitah contains within it every aspect of our belief system. So in your mind, you're going through the Rambam's 13 principles of faith. The Or HaChaim basically says Shemitah has all of them. And he's going to expound, and we're going to see in our shiur, through all different aspects and values, how Shemitah really is the perfect, I'm going to say, the poster mitzvah for all of Jewish values, all of our principles of faith, all of our mitzvot. Harei luchot habrit mechulakim l'shnayim. And he says, when we talk about principles of faith, that exists within two realms, just as the Aseret HaDibrot are divided into two tablets, one containing mitzvot ben adam l'makom, the other one containing mitzvot ben adam l'chaveiro. Hachelek harishon, he says, this is Shemitah. It has so many foundations of our belief system relating to our relationship with God. And simultaneously, what is the other aspect or manifestation of our covenant with Hashem? Mitzvot ben adam l'chaveiro. Also containing so many different social mitzvot. He says, that's the ikar of Shemitah. Shemitah really is a microcosm then of our entire belief system. It really is the heart of the Torah. So now let's begin by seeing this in Dvarim Perek Tedvav, where we see other aspects. Not only is this going to be Shabbat LaHashem and Shabbat LaAretz, but we also hear in Dvarim Perek Tedvav, Miket Sheva Shanim Taseh Shemitah. At the end of 7 years, you're going, or at the end of 6 years, you have a Shemitah year. And then what do we do also at the end of this Shemitah year? Some people, according to the Rosh, wrote a Prusbol also at the beginning of the year, but we're going to write a Prusbol because it's not just our lands that are going to return to God and our ownership that's going to be placed in abeyance for a year, but it's also our control over our money that Hashem is going to remind us belongs to Him. Zed Davar Hashmitam, Dvarim Perek Tetvav. At Deuteronomy chapter 15 now. Shamot kol ba'al mashe yado asher yasheb reyehu lo yigoset reyehu betachiv ki kara shmita lahashem. Shmita declares that you also do not run after your fellow man to ask for his funds. Etanachritigos, you can go and ask non-Jews, but not your fellow Jew. Efes ki lo yebacha ebyon. In order to help the economic balance in society. If someone took a loan from you, then it's canceled by the end of Shemitah, unless you write a Prusbol. But basically, we see, Ki varech yivarechacha Hashem ba'aretz, asher Hashem alokecha natan lecha nechala l'rishta. God gave you a land. God gave you economic sustainability. And now you have to look around at everyone else. Rakim shamoa tishma b'kol Hashem alokecha lishmor lasot et kol ha-mitzvah hazot. Asher anochi mitzavcha hayom. Don't be so myopic and don't be so self-centered just to look at the blessings that God has blessed you with. Ki Hashem alokecha b'irachacha kasher diber lach v'avateta goyim rabim v'ata lo ta'avot. And it could be that other nations have control over you, but you're not going to do that to your fellow man. You're not going to control your fellow man. You're going to look at society and make sure that even the evyonim, even the indigent in society are going to be taken care of. And Rav Chaim Sabato, a modern thinker, says, what are all these laws really about? He expounds upon the Or HaChaim and he says, what is it about the mitzvah of Shemitah that all the details and all the general ideas were said at Sinai? Mishum shebemitzvah zo ba'im lidei bitui ba'ofen mufak shnei hayisodot shel haTorah. He basically repeats the Or HaChaim. The two foundations, our relationship with God and our relationship with our fellow members, our fellow Jews, this is what's manifest more by Shemitah than any other mitzvah in the Torah. And that's why he says, it's only at the end of a Shemitah year, noheget mitzvat hakel. At the end of a Shemitah year, we find two manifestations of the foundations of belief, basically the heart of the Torah. After a Shemitah year, only then will you be ready for Hakel, which, by the way, don't worry, the government is already thinking how to do this with Corona guidelines, even though it's next Sukkot that we're talking about. But we're going to have hundreds and thousands of people, Be'ezrat Hashem, I'm going to call it a dress rehearsal of Hakel, because then hopefully 7 years after, we're going to have to do this for real. Shehi shechzur shel ma'amad har Sinai. After Shemitah, you're ready for the reenactment of Har Sinai, which occurs once every 7 years in the Hakel ceremony. After you have reestablished your Archei HaYisod, your foundational values, L'si u'lemitzui, you have actualized the values of the Torah during a Shemitah year, then Yeshna Kabbalah Mechudeshet Shel HaTorah. Then you're ready to re-accept the entire Torah. Then you're ready to say Naseh v'nishma all over again. Amnam, mitzvat hashmita hi rak echad l'sheva shanim v'achad l'chamishim shana. It's true, though, that we only have this opportunity once every 7 years, and Yovel once every 50 years. Ach bo tam hashanim kol achad miYisrael chash et hatchushot hemuniyot v'chavratiyot hatfunot b'mitzvah. You're supposed to say, well, if this is the foundation, why don't we have Shemitah every year? And what's the answer? We can't survive that way. But once every 7 years, we're going to literally reinvigorate ourselves, recalibrate ourselves, re-edify ourselves with regard to the basic values of the Torah. Misho says, "Tachad l'sheva shanim." If you do this once every 7 years, then it's going to project over all the interim years. So let's make this the best Shemitah year that we've had until now, so that not just this year, but the next 6 years will be even better, will be ones that take with it the spirit of Shemitah. And he quotes, he says, "You cannot deny the words of the Or HaChaim." He says, the very fact that this is the foundation of the Torah, he says, "Noto shemitzvah zo tluya be'eretz Yisrael." I have such a schut that I can preach to the choir here. That you can't do this anywhere. It's not that you can recalibrate yourself with Torah values in New York. Sorry. Again, you can bring some Torah values. Sorry, you can with some Torah values, but I'm going to get emails tonight. Shani, what do you mean? You can't recalibrate yourself religiously anywhere else. You can, but not the same way. Because, as he says, Hamitzui shel archei hayesod shel haTorah, these foundational values of the Torah are specifically for Eretz Yisrael. Because this is a land that is always guided by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the most straightforward manner, ba'ofen yashir. V'lachein rak be'eretz zo efshar lahafik et hadargot hagvohot biyoter shel ha'emuna v'hachavratiyut. You want to know where you can best manifest and where you can best condition yourselves to these two primary principles of the Torah, ben adam l'makom, ben adam l'chaveiro, what he calls emuna en chavratiyut. He says the best way is in Eretz Yisrael. And the only way to truly maximize the potential in these two realms is going to be in Eretz Yisrael. These are dargot shetzluyot b'kirbat Hashem, because you need a closeness with God. That's number one. So you have to be in Eretz Yisrael to experience this. Yitzera mizo b'mitzvot hashmita yish dinim shnoagim rak kishebeit hamikdash kayam. And as we already said, they're not really going to be manifest on the biblical level until majority of Am Yisrael here, and certain levels, certain aspects of Shemitah that we can only perform once there's a Beit HaMikdash, which teaches you as well that Shemitah is linked to this aspect of the land of Israel and Kedusha. Shvi'it tluya b'kedusha lo rak b'minucha. Even though we're going to speak a lot about resting, it's not just about resting, it's also about sanctity. Chelak ma'adinim tluyim b'Beit HaMikdash mishum shara kirvat elokim kol kach gvoha. If the reason why Shemitah is at the heart of the Torah is because it represents more than any other mitzvah the values of emunah and the values of ben adam l'chaveiro, then you have to sensitize yourselves completely. Your entire body has to be in Eretz Yisrael, and even more than that, it has to try to get as close to God as possible. That ultimately can only be manifest once we have a Beit HaMikdash. But once you do, then when you have this closeness with God, with the Beit HaMikdash, living in Eretz Yisrael, that allows one to reach the highest levels of emunah, of bitachon, of ben adam l'chaveiro. Very often I'll ask students, so do you want a Beit HaMikdash? I don't know, it's a nice idea, I'm a little nervous, you know, a lot of halachot, don't worry, we're having crash courses, Rabbi Moon's already working on Beit HaMikdash source books and charts, and not to worry, but at the same time, I ask them, what would you like? Meaning, you have to think not just about some of the halachot, but what are these halachot for? So can you imagine you're going to have the presence of the Beit HaMikdash, and it's not as if we're all going to go to the Beit HaMikdash, even though it's going to be 5 minutes from the OU Center. We're not going to go every day, just as if I ask you, how many of you go to the Kotel every day? Once a month? Okay, I should hope, yes? Okay, excellent. Gana, some of you, maybe once a year, b'seder, ideally 3 times a year, but whatever the case may be, just knowing that we have a Beit HaMikdash is going to have an effect. Not just on, we say, yes, there won't be disease, there will be peace. It's going to have an effect on the way that we live. We're just going to feel that we want to be the best people we can be. Of course, this is going to enhance society, brotherly love, the relationship, and adam l'chaveiro, zeh ha-kesher ha-pnimi sheben Shemitah lebein Mamad Har-Sinai. And a Shemitah year gives us a little bit of a taste of that. Shemitah, then, is obviously going to serve as the basis for Mamad Har-Sinai because it represents all these values. So now that we know that it really is the heart, the paradigm of all of the mitzvot of the Torah, which makes sense then, that Ma'amad Har Sinai should come, or the reenactment of Ma'amad Har Sinai through Hakel should come at the end of a Shemitah year when we resensitize ourselves to this. Let's take a look at some of the other values. The value of personal strength that Chazal speak about as well. Let's look at Vayikra Rabbah, the very first midrash. Giborei koach oseh dvaro. They are strong-willed, fulfill the word of God. What is this talking about, the strong-willed, fulfill the word of God? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. We're talking about Shomrei Shvi'it HaKatuv Medaber. We're talking about those who observe Shemitah, meaning there's the designation of respect and honor specifically to those who keep Shemitah. Benohag sheba'olam adam oseh mitzvah liyom achad, leshabbat achad, lechodesh achad. But this is talking about people who, when you keep Shemitah year, you have to be sensitive to this every single day. Now, truth is that we're not farmers, not all of us at least, but even today, are we sensitive to Shemitah now every single day? Yes. And it doesn't, you know, we don't stop keeping the halachot of Shemitah on Shabbat. Now, if anything, what do I do with my chicken soup with all the Shemitah vegetables? Again, every single day we're going shopping. And every day, again, I don't know about you, but I'm sensitive to this. Okay, so this supermarket, what do you keep? Is it Heter Mechira here? Is it Otzar Haaretz here? How much is Shishi? Do you walk into Gush Etzion, to Rami Levi and Gush Etzion, and you get a headache after 30 seconds because some of them say Shishi, some of them say Nachri, some say Arava. You have to look at every single lettuce bag now. Have you noticed that? Again, just lettuce bags. There's a selection of five because, and they're all from the same company, but they're all from a different place, and they're all with a different hashkacha. And don't worry, you have the rest of the day to think and to learn about this. But yes, this requires a tremendous amount of a personal strength. And therefore, even though there are many mitzvot that are challenging, it makes sense that Rabbi Yitzchak says, Shemitah is the one that really, that is going to be almost the test of your integrity and personal strength that goes with you every single moment of every single day of every year. But it's more than that. Yesh lecha gibor gadol mizeh. Someone who keeps the laws of Shemitah, do you have a greater gibor? And he's referring not just to the farmers, of course, of whom it's required that they have belief that somehow they'll earn enough this year, somehow, even with Otsar Haaretz, that they're given a basic minimum. Who knows what's going to happen? Maybe they're going to have unexpected expenses this year. It requires a tremendous amount of emunah. That's kvura. That's personal strength. That's each and every one of us. Faith and active participation. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us that kol ha-toreach be'erev Shabbat, sofo lehenot ve'lechol b'Shabbat. That part of being able to enjoy means that there are times that you have to work a little harder. So we worked a little harder. We learned. We're going to more Shemitah seminars in order to basically to appreciate this. Let's take a look now at another aspect, another value. It's not just the idea of our own personal strength. Shemitah is meant to build us up. Our own emunah is meant to bring out, I'm going to say, the best in us is a challenge. And by the way, we know that struggling through a challenge, Rav Soloveitchik speaks about this very often, that through the challenge itself, we're going to be able to defeat everyone around us. We become stronger in our own sense of emunah. Through a withdrawal, he says, sometimes we're able then to overcome. The third value, which is a very obvious one that we mention as one of the foundations as well, and that is our relationship with the land, which we can understand why then it's become part of the romantic literature of returning to Eretz Yisrael. Returning to Eretz Yisrael doesn't just mean returning to the land on autonomy. It means returning to a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means returning to Shemitah, which are the values of the Jewish people. And let's see how this is expressed, firstly, by Chazal, living here in Eretz Yisrael in the first and second centuries. Galut ba'al olam, you know when Galut comes, they said, well, look at Sefer Vayikra, Parshat Bechukotai. It comes right after the laws of Shemitah and Yovel. When you worship Avodah Zarah, okay, that makes sense, our relationship with God, we're going to be cast out from God. Giloy Arayot, another cardinal sin. Shvichot Damim, the third. Okay, these are the three obvious ones. We expect to be estranged from God when we don't fulfill, or basically when we transgress the three Averot, the three transgressions of Yehareg V'al Ya'avor. And then what do Chazal add? And there's another one. Gena for Shashmatat Ha'aretz. If you don't fulfill Shemitah properly, then that's just as bad, basically, as Avodah Zarah Giloy Arayot Shvichut Damim. You also are going to be estranged from the land. And let's explain this a little more. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Tet, explains that a heretic said to Rav Avahu, you know what, your God is so interesting, right? Your God does interesting things. He tells Yechezkel the prophet, lie on your left side and then lie on your right side. And he had to lie on his left side for 390 days and lie on his right side for 40 days. So what is this? You know, is God just having like a fun time with Yechezkel? In the meantime, a certain student came before Rav Avahu and said to him, okay, what's the reason for Shemitah? Why do we have Shemitah? Why is this the foundation of the Jewish people? Rav Avahu said to both of them, I have an answer that will answer both of you, that will fit for both. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LiYisrael, Zra'o Sheish VeHashmito Sheva, Kedei Shetedu Sha'aretz Shelihi. The whole point, Rav Avahu says, is Hashem gave us the mitzvah of Shemitah in order to remind us that the land, albeit he leased it to us, 6 years we get to not only sow and plant and reap the harvest, and then we take care of society with our wonderful bounty. We bring karbanot to Hashem, but once in 7 years we say, this was a lease, and the lease is up, and it belongs to God. And therefore, the Jewish people who don't recognize that the land is really God's, they're going to be exiled. Which is why God told Yechezkel, go lie on your side, your left side, representing the northern part of the country. Go lie on your side for 390 days, parallel to all those Shemitot that Am Yisrael did not keep. And then lie on your right side for 40 days. 40 years, 40 cycles of Shemitot that Am Yisrael did not keep in the southern area, in Malchut Yehuda. God instructed him and said, these are the number of years that the Jews did not observe the halachot of Shemitah. You have to recognize that the land is Hashem's. And sometimes we get lost in all this, right? Whether it's because we're all experiencing currently a global pandemic, so Israel is just on the world scene. And sometimes in the age of international politics, so we think of ourselves like any other country, but we're not. This is a land that belongs to God. And therefore, not only political decisions should be made with that in mind, but certainly the Shemitah year reminds us of this. Rav Moshe Alshech says this beautifully with regard to understanding what a nachala really is. How Eretz Yisrael is not just called an achuzah, it's not just a possession, it's not just any real estate, even though we get the Ottoman taboo, you know, the wonderful red ribbon, the sign of ownership. No. There are different rules. We have a different term. It's not just taboo. It's not just going to be the laws of real estate. This is called a nachala. When you come into the land, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, implies ki tavo al haaretz, implies no conquest, but the acquisition of a legacy, a nachala, a yerusha. This may foster the illusion that the land belongs to us permanently, right? Once we've been given it as an inheritance, then it's ours, unconditionally, to be inherited by their children, to be tilled and cultivated, to reap the fruits of their sweat and toil. To counter any such notion, Hashem says, I'm giving this land to you. And in other words, it's not a land given with an irreversible inheritance. It's a pledge renewed on condition that you merit it. Once every 7 years, you have to prove that you merit it. If you turn away from me, then I'll take it away from you and I'll give it to others. So for 70 years, we didn't have the land because we didn't keep it properly. For 2,000 years, we didn't have it because we didn't appreciate what our relationship with the land was all about, namely an expression of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through this land. And this is beautifully expressed through so many, both mitzvot, but certainly through parshanut, through Jewish philosophy. But I also want to show, even through modern Jewish poetry, Chaim Guri, a secular Zionist, an Israeli poet, writes about the phenomenon of what it means to live in Eretz Yisrael. Even in the 20th century, in which we can now say the 21st century as well, with all the difficulties of Eretz Yisrael. And this is a beautiful poem that I think resounds with all of us, that I encourage you to go home and share with your families as well. Shuv, he says, Kamo tamid be'eret Yisrael, ha'banim rotchot, the stones are always boiling. He's referring also to the very, you know, I would say, steaming political picture that we always have. Hadama inena mechase. And the adama, the earth, doesn't cover, he's referring to, it doesn't cover the blood that's been spilled here. V'shuv korim achayim en hameitzar. And still, we have our own brothers calling out for help. says the social status here in Eretz Yisrael, it's difficult. Klavim ktutzei oznayim, tzuakim balayla, you have dogs walking around, again with bitten ears at night. El hanachrihana v'achareyam onim lomatam. ושוב כמו תמיד בארץ ישראל, אבני המרשות מסכנות רבים מן הנמים רואים סולם. There are always problems, basically, he says. There are always dangers here. הלבנה גדולה יותר ומניעה, גמולות משוררות ועוד סהרורים, ועורבים נמים על אם הדרך כמאז. He says, we still have bandits in the desert. Basically, he's referring to terrorist attacks are still going on today, just like then. ושוב כמו תמיד בארץ ישראל, שער הרחמים נעול עדיין. And today, literally, שער הרחמים around Har HaBayit, it's still locked. And he means also Hashem. Really, why is life so difficult here still? ואבני כפרים בצל חומה. And we still have so many graveyards around our walls. I'm going to skip, though, to, as you see, the bolded words. ושוב כמו תמיד בארץ ישראל, הדרכים כואבות מעקבות עולי רגל. It still is so difficult for us to go up עלייה לרגל, and he means that in every sense. It's still a difficult path to go up, means literally for an עלייה. It still is difficult here. And he also means it still is difficult. Again, the road still, and I'm not going to tell you how long it took me to get from Gush Etzion, but again, there's also something beautiful about it. Baruch Hashem, all the construction, also preparation for the traffic for Har HaBayit. Velokim, he says, what else hasn't changed? It still is difficult. The path is hard. Velokim margish kmo babayit. And still, God runs the show here. He says, you can't really explain anything here in Eretz Yisrael. Can't explain the political situation. You can't explain the up and downs of Corona here in Eretz Yisrael. You can't explain how things happen so quickly here in Eretz Yisrael. You can't explain it because this isn't really our land. This is God's land. Elokim margish kmo babayit. V'achay odam korim min hamitzar. But that's how it always was, and it still is, and it always will be in Eretz Yisrael. Elokim margish kmo babayit. This is God's home. And Shemitah reminds us that we may rent it from God, actually for, you know, a pretty good deal for 6 years. Every 7 years, we remind ourselves that it belongs to Hashem. And this idea, albeit it seems like a very technical idea, is one that serves also as a foundation, not just of Jewish belief and not just of our relationship with God and not even just our relationship with the land, but our relationship with other lands and other countries. Rabbi Sacks says this beautifully, even though, again, Jean Rousseau said this as well. Rabbi Sacks says in his famous work of Dignity of Difference, he says, when man was placed in Gan Eden, la'ovda u'lishomra, right in the middle of the paragraph, he says, notice these two pa'alim, these two verbs that we just read about, again, in Parshat Bereishit. Lo'ovda, God said, this is your function, mankind in this world. Lo'ovda, l'sharetota. You have to go and serve nature. Adam hu adon hateva, you're the master of nature, but that also means that you're the maintenance man of nature. You have to serve nature. Shamar, hapoel shamar, he says, in the continuation of the Torah, we hear this, especially in a Parshat Mishpatim, l'ta'er et achrayuto shel mi shemafkidim b'hashkachato rechush she'eino shayach lo. A shomer is someone who takes the responsibility to watch something that doesn't necessarily belong to him. Alav lahakpit alei reinut umutelet alav ha'achrayut l'nizakim. He has to always be aware, he has to make sure that no damages happen because of his negligence. Lo'da u'lishomra. Basically teaches us mankind's relationship and responsibility towards nature according to the Torah. On one hand, again, we are just shomrim. Lahashem ha'aretz mlo'a. The world belongs to God. We are his trustworthy maintenance men. B'shmo shel Elokim she'yatzaroto. Hu ba'alav. U'leman dorot ha'atid. And he says, if only we would appreciate this, then we would recognize that there is no sense in war. There's no sense in taking over someone else's property because it's not your property, it's God's property. Kechelak Hashem Amo Yaakov Chevel Nachalato. God decides which country, which nation, which people, which neighbors can live in which areas. It's not up to you to start killing people, to take over their land. God says, Am Yisrael belongs in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, I'm giving you commandments to make sure that you fulfill my word and serve as the maintenance people in this land. But that doesn't mean that you should go ahead and cross the Atlantic and start conquering lands that God did not necessarily place you in. And that's why Rousseau says as well, if only people would understand that land doesn't belong to me. He was definitely trying to build a socialist platform. He says there are so many people who believe that land belongs to them. He says, how many crimes, how many wars, how many murders, how many terrible miseries there are in mankind because they think that they own. They say, this belongs to us. He says, nothing does. It's just an illusion. Ha'peirot l'chulanu hem. Definitely the fruits belong to all of us, and the land, the earth, that's not the acquisition of man. That certainly is God's. And we have the zchut to sensitize ourselves to this on a microcosmic level in Eretz Yisrael once every 7 years by saying, Hashem, the land is yours. It's not ours. We don't work this land. And now another value, a value that we've also seen in this past week's Parsha, Parsha Bereishit, the idea of striving to return to Gan Eden. And whether Gan Eden is an actual area, the Ramban, who explains both in Sefer Bereishit and his introduction to Sefer Dvarim and his Parshanut on Parshat Ekev and Re'eh, will certainly highlight the idea that Eretz Yisrael is Gan Eden and has the potential to be Gan Eden. And there are certain times of the year, for example, Chag HaSukkot, when now we sit embraced and we're not worried about rains and we have the perfect temperature and the bounty. And now we see the agriculture, literally all the Atzei Chaim, beautiful specimens of species right in front of us. There are certain times that we do get a little bit of a taste of Gan Eden. Well, what we're going to see is that once in every 7 years, we get a very nice spoonful taste of Gan Eden. And that's a Shemitah year. And we see this in the Psukim themselves. Take a look at what we just read in Parshat Bereishit. Did you ever notice this? The terminology, Vayomer Elokim hinei natati lachem et kol esev zorea zera asher al pnei kol haaretz. Man gets to eat any seeded vegetation. Vet kol ha'etz asher bo priet zorea zera lachem yelo ochla. What does Hashem tell Adam in Gan Eden? Why is Gan Eden called paradise? Why is it this utopian lifestyle? Because we have everything there. We can eat from every single fruit tree. Okay, you're already seeing the parallel. Excellent. Hashem says everything is here. It's available. Just go to wherever you want and eat whatever you want. We can eat any vegetation that's growing on its own. Beautiful. Excellent. And by the way, we know that just there are certain halachot. There are also some lotases from Eitza, Hadat, Tovara, Lotochal. So you can eat from that, but everything else, Gan Eden, eat from whatever fruit trees you want, any vegetation, it's available to you. Take a look at the terminology that we find by Shemitah. Vaita Shabbat Haaretz Lachem Laochla. What happens during a Shemitah year? The exact same words employed by Gan Eden. Or every fruit tree, it's there for you. Just eat it. Basically, we go back to Gan Eden. This in itself is exciting. And what's interesting is that even though there may be some other issues that we have to deal with that don't necessarily transform the world or even Eretz Yisrael automatically to utopia, here we find that Shaul Martera, who was living, his sefer is called Givat Shaul, a rabbi of the 17th century who longed to come to Eretz Yisrael. He says that this is what Yeshayahu means when he says Vigar Ze'evim Keves. He says that's the way that it was during the time of Adam at the beginning of creation. Man was able to live with all animals. And we know that the nature of animals was different. So we also know very clearly that the earth is now cursed, as Hashem told Adam, that now there are thorns and thistles, and animals tear each other up. So as a reminder of the past, and to serve, he says, as an inspiration for the future, and even if we're not living fully in a utopian Gan Eden society, to remind us of what we're striving for, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us the mitzvah of the Shemitah year, which draws our attention to the time of creation and helps us anticipate eschatological times of Mashiach. And for your cattle and the beast, which is in your land, notice this, that this is a promise. Don't worry, Shemitah, we get to experience a little bit of Gan Eden, which not only brings us back to the nostalgia, Chadesh Yameinu Kekedem, but is supposed to enthuse us, let's work a little harder on this. Let's try to get to a state wherein every year can be a Shemitah-like year, and we'll see why we would want this. Because now the fifth value, what's mine is yours. Shali shalcha. That basically, we finally remit a sense of ownership and even self-centeredness during this year. Rav Yosef Tzvi Rimon, the poet, who is Rav Yosef Tzvi Rimon, the Rav's grandfather, Zechorno Levracha, wrote based on Mizmor Kuf Lamed Tet in Tehillim, where a man sometimes feels very frustrated that God is always in our lives, that Hashem sees us and knows, Bantam Mere'i L'Rachok, God knows our thoughts, God knows our words, God knows our actions. And the Meshorer in Tehillim says, God, Ana Evrach Mimcha, can I just get away from you for a little while? And it sometimes can be a little overwhelming and a little claustrophobic to know that God is so involved in our lives. In a very similar vein, the poet Yosef Tzvi Rimon says, can I just do this? Can I egoz nizri? Can I cut off my nizi roots, right? Can I remove my crown from my head, pe'eroshi? Can I tell v'omar l'elokai lo avo od baharim, lo ale al siyehim, bakesh hetcha shama? God, I don't want to go up. It's just so hard, this life of avodat Hashem. I don't want to go up to the mountains. And he's also referring to returning to Eretz Yisrael. It's really hard. What, another swamp that we have to drain? God, I don't want to go up another mountain. I don't want to go to the climax. I don't want to search for your echo anymore. Marot starim lo echkor. God, I don't want to go into the caves. Bakeshet pamacha. I don't want to go here or even search after your bells anymore. Ki shafach tahod gam asadot krovim. Akol eitz poreach. And then he says, actually, I don't have to go there because the glory of God is everywhere. It's on all the fields, in every tree. Ein hod b'li hodecha. There's no glory without you. Adma ashkon baharim, agur b'tzia. I don't have to go live in the mountains. I can live anywhere. V'ata chamadata kol shvil, v'yal kol shvil ata. God, you really are everywhere. And he's referring to specifically, you're in every cobblestone street of Eretz Yisrael. You're in every alleyway in Eretz Yisrael. Not just our history comes alive here, but everything comes alive. And we realize that, wow, we're part of something much grander, much bigger. The Kli Arkar says beautifully with regard to this, he says, all the halachot of Shemitah, which ultimately climax, as we know, with Hakel. He asks, why is Hakel at the end of a Shemitah year? He says beautifully, Shnat Hashmita Gorem, Gorem Gamkein HaHakel VaHashalom. Because the Shemitah year is what sensitizes us to assembly together. We can't, can you imagine right now if we ask all the Jews of Eretz Yisrael to come together, not only are people going to say, no, again, the vaxxers and anti-vaxxers can't be in the same, you know, Dalit Amo together, and I can't be with them, and no, you're this political party, you support Bennett, I don't support Bennett, again, whatever the case may be, no, we can't all come together, don't worry. Let's give this 11 more months. Can we try? Baruch Hashem, we have Adar Bet this year. Again, and this way, we have time to work on our arivut, on our responsibility one to the other. We have time to work on our shalom. Shemitah, by default, forces us to come together. Al yedei shelo yizra v'lo yatzmiach bo v'achlu ebyonei amo. And all social classes come together because even the poor can eat from our fields. And no one's allowed to hold on to their field as a bal habayit. V'zeh b'li safek sibat ha-shalom. And that's why, obviously, we can come together the following year. Ki kol divrei rivot nimshachim. He says all of the angst in society, disputes in society, they all stem from the midah of shali shali shalcha shalcha. Isn't that capitalist society? What's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. Zomer kulo shali, b'kolze eino kol kach b'shana ha-shvi'it. Ki b'kum ma'aseh eina kol shavim. V'shevi al taseh. He says we still retain our own identity. Everyone's going to do their own thing. We're still involved in our own pursuits. But when it comes to shevi al taseh, ha-kol shavim, b'zeh be'met inyan ha-shalom. Private acquisition and a sense of ownership creates a sense of what's mine is mine, and I don't have to have anything to do with you. Shemitah promotes a sense of what's mine is really not just HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but what's mine is really yours. one person claiming it's all mine, the other person claiming it's all mine, and the seventh year, all are equal. And this is the real essence of peace, which is why the Meshiloach says, isn't that interesting, that Shemitah and Yovel actually correspond to what it says in Pirkei Avot. For 6 years, Shali Shali, Shalcha Shalcha, that's a regular Midah. But what's Lifnim Mishurat Adin? What's Midat HaChasidut? Shali Shalcha. That really, what's mine is really yours. Which brings us now to the last two values, which we're going to go through very quickly, Kedushat HaZman, the sanctity of space and time. Ideas that definitely are promoted through Shemitah. The Gemara tells us beautifully that Rav Katina teaches, just as the seventh year is the release of seven, so too the world. According to our Mesorah, the cycles of seven days of the week, 7 weeks, again, of Sefirat HaOmer, 7 years, so too in the millennia, that we're going to have to work for 6 years, six millennia, and then by the beginning, really, of the seventh millennia, that means that we're now in 5782. That means that we're only 200 and, wow, this is very exciting, and 18 years away from the Shemitah of the world, the beginnings of Yemot HaMashiach. Don't worry, by the way, I tell people, don't get caught up in this. Firstly, you can, because we're very close. I used to say, if I'm not here for the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash, don't worry, think about it. 200 years from now, all of our great-grandchildren, Be'ezrat Hashem, that's fascinating. And so Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll see those great-grandchildren, and we'll see. But the truth is, I believe that we're all going to be here for the Binyan Beit HaMikdash, because what do Chazal say? There's a certain time that's embedded in the world, Be'ita, where God is going to make sure that the Geula comes. But Achishena, what can we do? Hasten it. So if we're only 218 years away, then really, what can we do? We can just get it to come a little faster, which I don't know about you, but looking around at everything going on, Baruch Hashem, in the world and in society, I think we're really almost there. And when you're almost there, you know those last few hundred meters of a marathon, what happens? The adrenaline, right, kicks in and sprints you forward. That's Shemitah. That's what this is supposed to do for all of us, and I really truly believe that this Shemitah year of Teshin Pei Bet is supposed to do that. It's supposed to sprint us forward, really hundreds of years. And we see this. Again, the Gemara tells us that Shemitah is basically a microcosm of the world. Again, just as we say Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbat, that's Shemitah, Mizmor Shir, for that Yom, for that eventual day of Mashiach that ultimately will be one of Shabbat. This is the idea of sensitizing us really to not just sanctity of land, sanctity of space, but really sanctity of time. The Or HaChaim, the same Or HaChaim who spoke about the significance of Shemitah with regard to the basis of the foundations of the Torah, tells us that when Hashem says in Aseret HaDibrot, Ki Sheshet Yamim Asa Hashem Et HaShamayim Ve'et HaAretz, and he told us that, yes, only he understood the power of Sheshet Yemei Briah. And we know that there weren't really 6 days of creation, because a day isn't a day until the fourth day, when you actually have constellations to track the transition of day and night. But the Torah calls it, no, this is God's definition of day and night. There were 6 days over and over. He says God created one day, and that day gave the world energy for another 6 days. And on the second day, God gave that day energy so that it can continue for another 5 days. And for that day, again, over and over again, Mechadesh B'tuvo, every day, God reinstates every Shemitah year. What happens on Shabbat then? God says this is a day that's going to invigorate the world to continue for another week until the next Shabbat. Every Shemitah, this is our way of appreciating that this time generates the possibility of future time as well. Rabbi Yitzchak Arama, the Baal HaKedah, tells us that that's what's supposed to happen in a Shemitah year. It's supposed to arouse you and sensitize you that we are not avadim to time, that it's not about what we do today and this week. Rather, we are not avadim to our land. We're not avadim to time. Ki im l'tachlit acher nechbad v'nefla mimenu. And I think, by the way, I think Corona has really succeeded in doing this. And personally, I feel that Corona has really sensitized me to, and I'm laughing at myself because I don't think I was ever too sensitive to time. And but especially over Corona, everyone getting that sense when I refer back to even what happened a few months ago, I'm trying to think of Pesach last year or Pesach the year before. I say Corona created almost a time warp for us, right? Wherein, I don't know, somehow days turned into weeks, right? Remember all those funny WhatsApps my mother would send me that, oh, you know, Monday is like Tuesday, you needed a reminder that it was Shabbat, but we don't, because Shabbat is always Shabbat. Shabbat recalibrates our sensitivity to time, but yes, technically Monday is like Wednesday, and Wednesday is like Thursday, and all of a sudden you realize that society has created also this demand of time, of making sure that we sign in at a certain time. And of course, there are mitzvot that demand that we be sensitive to time. At the same time, to realize that God wants us to live in a little bit of a time warp this year of Shemitah, that we're not slaves to time. So if I don't get to my field at 6 a.m., it's okay, because it's God's field, and now is your time, a general time. It's not about the minutes. It's about seeing the bigger picture of things. Rav Tzvi Kalischer, one of the leaders of Chavevei Tzion, says, the Shemitah year teaches us further that the rich should not lord over the poor. Accordingly, the Torah ordained that all should be equal during the seventh year, both the rich and the needy having access to the gardens and the fields to eat their fill. Yet another reason for Shemitah is that they should not always be preoccupied with working the soil to provide for their material needs. For in this one year, they would be completely free. The liberation from the yoke of work would give them the opportunity for studying Torah and wisdom. Those who are not students will be occupied with crafts and building and supplying these needs in Eretz Yisrael. Those endowed with special skills will invent new methods in this free time for the benefit of the world. And therefore, even if we're not farmers, many are encouraging that we develop a bank hazman, a bank for time, that everyone should contribute beyond what they generally do. Make time for things that you generally have not made time for. This isn't just a luxury of the wealthy. This is a sabbatical year for every single member in society. Imagine such a society wherein we invest beyond our regular hours, but there aren't those hours. So now, take advantage of the time. Which brings us to the last value, balancing our lives and literally breathing a little more. What we can say, what Shabbat reminds us of, is not just about la'asot, of doing during 6 days or 6 years, but it's just a day of lihiyot. It's a day of being with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is why we have to be careful during the end of the 7 years of Shemitah, to realize that our money isn't ours. Rav Kook, in his famous work written in 1909 on the Erev of a Shemitah year, can discuss in Shabbat Haaretz the significance. It's a year of equality and rest in which the soul reaches towards divine justice, towards God who sustains the living creatures with loving kindness. There is no private property, no punctilious privilege, but the peace of God reigns over all of which there is the breath of life. Sanctity is not profaned by the exercise of private acquisitiveness over all this year's produce, or the wealth stirred by commerce for food but not for commerce. Life can only be perfected through the affording of a breathing space for the bustle of everyday life. The individual shakes himself free from ordinary weekday life at short and regular intervals on every Shabbat and on Shemitah. We're supposed to breathe this year. Literally breathe. I just read this wonderful book called Breath, again, about the art of breathing, of relaxing. For anyone who does yoga, which I also encourage, again, is certainly not only meant to help us focus and meditate a little more, but it truly strengthens us. Breathing intervals can help us not just relax, but help us become more mindful and focused. The Urim V'Tumim on the Halachot of Shemitah in the Shulchan Aruch tells us that when Shemitah comes, everyone lets go of everything, even of your chovot. And then we realize, wait, we don't have to run after someone else's money, even if it was my money. Let's be happy with what we have. Let's be mindful of what we have. Let's organize. That's one of my to-do lists over Shemitah, to organize everything that we have. And then we realize, na'ot lo'oved ha-shalom, that really we're all avdei Hashem. We have what we need. The Shadal, who tells us as well, these mitzvot remind us of chanina and chesed, remind us of our relationship with God and our relationship with everyone else. This is what sensitizes us, not only to the real priority of sense in the commercial and monetary sense of the word, but also to really sensitize us and our sensibilities, to make us better people. The Rambam teaches us that the highest form of tzedakah is really to provide someone with a loan or with a job, to empower the borrower. This is a year of Shemitah which enables independence and sensitizes us to dependence on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It reminds us of our not just individual, but our national goals, to stir our own practice, to recognize that food becomes food and to enjoy our food more, not as commerce. We're reminded that we live as the Or HaChaim said, and Shemitah reminds us of our system of values and ethics, the idealistic possibilities, our utopian potential. Shemitah, in short, provides the healthiest model, a Torah model, not just of giving, but of living. Chodesh Tov and Shnat Shemitah Tova.